this is Come On Dude.
Welcome. We just commenced week 13 of the regular season. Boom Goes Dynamite. We've got 1 week left. But more importantly, after Booby doing a solo podcast, myself am back. Zach is back to join Booby for this week's episode.
Yeah. Shout out to Booby putting the podcast on his back last week with Lachone's tag along. That a kid.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you, Liam.
Jones is a great guest. I love listening.
It was crazy. He told me that, like, there was, like, a good good 2.5 minutes where he was, like, fumbling around, and he was, like, in his room, and, like, I was like, what are you doing right now? He's like, I just plugged in my iPad. Never was charging, even though he said he plugged it in. iPad dies. Then podcast went off the rails. But, no, it was fun. Thanks again, Liam.
Yeah. So, this is going to be a lengthy one. We've got a lot to talk about here regarding, one, our league, but then two, just as the NBA gets going a little bit more, other sports news is going to be popping up. We're going to give our takes on it because we are more than just Boom Goes Dynamite podcast. We want to give our mostly biased opinions on these sports takes here that happen in the world. So without further ado, let's get it rolling. First things first, one of the biggest tournaments in the world, per Booby Scherf, the World Cup is currently happening. The United States got eliminated in their first round after the group stage. But I know that this is a huge tournament for all. I actually was just watching Portugal and somebody, who was that? Not the Netherlands. Portugal and somebody play. And I was wondering why Ronaldo was not playing. But who was even left in the World Cup?
All right, so first off, I wanted to say that I love that the U.S., like, a bunch of people that really don't watch soccer, like, get together and watch it and, like, really cheer on the United States, because it is, like, a huge deal. Like, and it was really cool to see them get out of the group. But, like, I get that we have a young squad, but, like, if you actually watch this tournament and see the other teams, we are so far away from, the, like, even close to the other teams. Like, Brazil... I love watching Brazil. They're just a bunch of just South American dudes that just grew up in slums and they just did, like, tricks and shit growing up with the ball. And then, like, they became incredible soccer players and they play with that flair. And, like, it's like a bunch of Jason Williams for you guys to understand. Okay. It's like a bunch of Jason Williams playing together. Like, just the crazy shit that they do. So I guess that's the best analogy I can give. But we're at the quarterfinals. The tournament picks back up Friday. So, like, tournament's winding down. And Croatia, Brazil, Netherlands, who beat us, Argentina, Morocco upset Spain the other day. I don't know if you saw that clip of the dude doing the waddle after he hit his penalty to advance.
No way, really?
Yeah, Hakimi. He's one of the best right backs in the world. He plays for Paris. And then Portugal, England, and France. The reason you asked why Ronaldo was benched, he's been horrible. He's been absolutely awful this tournament. So they benched him, and then they just won 6-1. He came in as a sub at later in the game, but he just hasn't been very good in the World Cup at all. And
really,
this young striker that plays for a team in Portugal that, like, there's, dude, I could go on and on about soccer because I actually have learned a lot because I've started to pick it up, and I think it's really interesting. But basically, he plays for the super developmental team in Portugal that ends up just selling all their players for, like, multi-millions to, like, the biggest clubs in the world. And, like, this striker dude is probably going to be the next one to leave their club that is going to get a big deal somewhere else. But I don't know. Not a lot, but basically Morocco has the upset of tournament. England and France play on Saturday. That's going to be a huge game. And I got Brazil winning it all, as does everybody, basically.
So I have a question. Do you always hear the debate, like, Ronaldo or Messi? Like, is it just Messi, like, undisputed now, or what's going there?
It's not about it being undisputed. It depends on what you're looking at, because Ronaldo has always been bigger, faster, stronger than everybody. I don't know if you've ever had the time, and anybody listening, to go and look up Messi highlights, but it is, like, actually the most beautiful thing you'll ever watch. It does not make sense. He's an alien. He's the greatest soccer player of all time.
Really? Okay. And I mean, as little
as
I
do. If we're talking, it's like I guess somebody brought this up, but it's kind of like Steph versus LeBron, except if Steph like dominated the way LeBron did as well.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how to like, I mean, Steph does dominate, but like you can't explain Steph and how he shoots. You can't explain Messi and how he dribbles and does everything. Ronaldo is just a physical presence that is also an elite technical finisher and like that whole thing. But he can't do the, Messi can do the things Ronaldo could do besides athleticism, but Ronaldo can't do the things Messi does. That's the best way to explain it.
That was actually a really good way to explain it for us non-soccer advocates. I mean, I watched it. I understand basic rules and things like that. But like after the U.S. tied one game, I texted a group chat. I was like, this is just like dumb to me because like you tie 0-0. Like, don't you want to get like that win and like that like yes feeling? You just stuck with like, oh, we tied. I know it's group stage, but.
Yeah, it's the group stage part of it is different. I mean, now they do like – they go into extra time and then they do penalties. But I mean, yeah, it's a little different. And but like ties are a big deal when it comes to like actual like league competitions, because there's leagues all over the world. Like the biggest ones in England, there's a huge one in Spain, Germany, blah, blah, blah. Like I could keep listing them, but ties give you a point, a win's 3 and a loss is 0. So like ties could be like a big deal, like in terms of point standings and whatnot. And it does in the group stage too. And that's why no team won all 3 games they played. Most of them went 2 wins, 1 tie if they made it out is like the winner of the group. So
awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll keep an update on that. Obviously, we'll check in a little bit later and see obviously who wins that because it's a huge tournament, especially for soccer fans. Wisconsin, they fired Paul Chryst earlier this year. And then had Jim Leonard, defense coordinator, as the head coach or interim head coach. And they get a huge hire in Luke Fickell. I didn't know really how to feel about it because I didn't know too much about Cincinnati. But talking to Nick, who's in our league and an avid Badgers fan, he seems very, very excited for this hire.
I mean, look at how many guys came out of Cincinnati. They had the second most players drafted last year.
I didn't know that.
Sauce? Desmond Ridder? I mean, he's a developmental coach, and that's what we need at Wisconsin. You're not going to get all the best players in the country, but you're going to get guys with, like, untapped potential.
Zach, what do you think about this?
Just to branch off what Dylan said, like, bringing up Ridder and Sauce, like, I saw this one interview that he said he didn't even know Sauce was good because he was, like, a low recruit and he was, like, a backup. But then as the season went on, as the season progressed, like, he might be a developmental guy for all we know. Because, I don't know. Also, I think he's going to be able to recruit a little better than Paul Chryst. I mean, Graham Mertz was a huge signing, but I think having that presence as, like, a top coach in college football in the D1 league, I think that'll be huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a great hire. I think he's going to, like, I don't know if you know that the playoffs are going to be expanding. I think the 12 teams. I'm not sure. I should really know this. It's in a couple of years, but they're going to expand the playoffs. And I mean, Wisconsin's got like, what? They're got to be like top 5, top 10 most wins over the last decade. And even in like the last 20 years, like Wisconsin's always been really good, but like they've never been able to make the college football playoff because, you know, what was that? You got
so,
the stat?
Yeah, so in 2024, they're going to expand to a 12-team playoff bracket.
Yeah,
which is
that's
kind of
sick.
Because I feel like Wisconsin getting to 12, like being ranked at least 12th isn't like a stretch to say.
They finished the year top 12, I want to say almost half the years of the past decade. I mean, even like when you throw it back to like when we've been in the Rose Bowl and shit, like easily would have been in the college football playoffs those years. So like, yeah, I'm excited for it to move to 12. It also gives you more like outcomes and there's not as much. Like if they're going to argue that the first team's out being 13 and 14, like that's going to like, it's better than arguing why Bama's not in right now or Tennessee, like the 5 and 6 teams rather than 13 and 14 when it gets to there. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll get to see a lot more talent, which is cool. Just kind of like how March Madness has so many teams of teams you never see on TV. Like Curry at Davidson was cool. I mean, maybe we'll see some guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll get to see some more talented football teams regarding this transfer portal that is happening currently in college sports. Booby's shaking his head right now because I'm sure he has his thoughts, but like basketball and football.
Dude, everybody and their mothers is in the transfer portal. Like, it's like, yeah, this dude's like every quarterback in Division I football is in the transfer portal right now. I swear to God.
Yep.
Fucking, do you know who JT Daniels is?
Not really.
All right, so he originally was he was going to Georgia when Justin Fields went to Georgia.
What the fuck?
And then Justin Fields transferred to Ohio State, right? JT Daniels is in the transfer portal for the fourth time.
Yes. Yeah. That's fucked.
Yeah, okay. Dude, why you gotta show us that? Man's trying to secretly show us his crumble cookies. Like, this is bullshit, dude.
Dylan, can you kind of explain like how the transfer portal works? Like, do they just put their name in it and schools like bid on them, or like how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, they offer them scholarships, and now they got NIL deals, and like it used to be where you had to sit out a year, and now you don't. Now you don't have to sit out a year. So, it's basically like just re-choosing your school and going there and playing right away if you want. Like Cale Williams was at Oklahoma last year, and he goes to USC with Lincoln Riley, and he's gonna win the Heisman.
Yeah, he's insane. I do like that quarterbacks can do that, because these D1 quarterbacks that are like the second string at Bama or the second string at Oklahoma, kind of like how Burrow bounced around from Ohio State to LSU. It's like there's so much talent. And now with the playoffs expanding, we're just going to see so many more players that typically you wouldn't see for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, but it's also like in reality, like messing up a lot of high school recruits, because these dudes are transferring or waiting for scholarships. But, like, because of the portal, these coaches are waiting to grab these guys from the portal, too. One, because they're older. Two, they've been in college systems, football or basketball. And they probably just have experienced way more, especially if they got significant amounts of playing time. Like, who's the guy at Michigan that transferred? Like, he was a starter for a while, then he just lost his job.
McNamara?
Yeah, that guy.
The quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's like has experience playing in a college system and for a good team. Like, obviously, a college coach is more likely to take him over some 18-year-old that could be a 4-star, but you never know. I mean, Graham Mertz was a 4-star, and he's horrible. So,
and he is also in the transfer portal.
Yes, which is good. Which is good. I thought go ahead.
I said I hope he leaves. Anyone can have him.
He's gone, dude.
Dude, you know what I admire is Nick did defend him a bit this year. Like Nick did go to bat for him. He wasn't horrible. Like he's not good, but he's not horrible. Like, I understand that there's like he's not what he was supposed to be, but like me and Nick were having this debate when we were watching the Minnesota game. Like, he's better than Joel Stavi ever was.
I mean, yeah, yes, probably.
Yes, he is. He literally
I
is.
Hope so.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he was a 4-star recruit. I'd hope he's better than Joel Stavi.
Yeah, but Joel Stavi is Joel Stavi.
He's like a Wisconsin legend.
God.
I'll give you Scott Tolzien.
Dude, there's a lot of old Wisconsin quarterbacks that went on to be backups, like Kyle Bowler. You remember him?
Nonetheless, I mean, I just hope Wisconsin gets somewhat of a quarterback that we can at least have a formidable passing game. Talking to Nick, I was like, I want to feel at least like I have a chance at 3rd and 6 and 3rd and 7 rather than just having to run the ball or like hope Graham Mertz makes a play in like a big game, not like versus Northwestern, like against an Ohio State, against a Michigan, against a Minnesota, schools like that.
I mean, I could totally see Luke Fickell in the transfer portal, like bidding on quarterbacks, telling the organization, look, we got to get a guy that can throw the ball. I think there's going to be a culture change.
I'd like a dual threat. I would like a dual threat. That would be fun.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. We know who's coming to Colorado, and that is Deion Sanders. And talk about giving it to guys straight. I mean,
that interview was crazy. Or not interview, but like that speech. He was just basically like, yeah, you know, I'm bringing guys. So if you're not about it, you just hit the portal. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I was reading the comments underneath it, because I was like, geez, like he basically just told everybody, like, you're not safe here. Like, I'm bringing guys in. Trust me. Like, you're probably not going to have a spot. If you go look at their season and their game scores, like, they were horrendous. Like, they did it to themselves. Like, you're 1-10. Half the games were, like, 45-7. Like, they got ran out of the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah. I mean, just with the name, Deion Sanders, you're going to get other guys that are going to come. Hence why he was able to recruit some of the top recruits to Jackson State, which was awesome. But, like, it would be really cool to see him turn that program around in a year because of the transfer portal and, like, the power that lies within that. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
Money talks. And for some reason, baseball players get paid absurd amounts for – I mean, they play a lot of games, right? But, I mean, one of the more or less physically demanding sports, I would say, in terms of contact, right? But Trey Turner signed a $300 million deal. Aaron Judge signed a $360 million deal. Verlander's at $35 million a year, and he's 40. And then DeGrom just signed with the Rangers for about $35 million a year as well. Like, who's the top football player right now? Is it Mahomes at 50?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty rare, is it not, in the NFL or no?
This is a record-breaking contract.
The quarterbacks are starting to get up there. Like, I think Rodgers is going to be getting, like, 50 mil next year.
Oh.
Just wait for Lamar.
Yeah, oh, we'll see what happens after that injury. It's exactly this is exactly what the Ravens wanted. I guarantee you. As sick as that sounds, as bad as that sounds, it's probably exactly what they wanted to happen.
Even if he doesn't get the contract he wants, they'll just continue to franchise tag him. I think they can do it up to two or three times. But I'm pretty sure the franchise tag makes you the top three or top five paid, like, whatever position you are. So quarterback. So
I think
he's going to make a lot of money off of it.
He will not play. He will not play if he gets franchise tagged. Guarantee it.
Even if he's a top five paid quarterback in the league, you get, like, the average salary of the top five or something like that. Like Zach said.
Mm-hmm. But, like, he won't play if he gets franchise tagged.
We'll have to wait and see.
Because they need him. They need him.
I don't know. Who's that other quarterback? What's his name?
Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, he looks pretty good, man. I don't know. He looks like he could be the next Mike Vick, if you ask me.
Nope.
You and your hate, bro, is just out of pocket. Like, you're not going to sit here and act like Josh Allen's lit the world on fire the last couple weeks, but...
Nope. Won't say that. But I can tell you who has also not lit the world on fire even a drive this season has been Baker Mayfield, and he's now currently on the Rams. Shout out Jordan Krieger.
I don't even know why. I have no idea why. There's no point.
I mean, like, he's better than John Wolford. I don't know.
Is he?
Yeah, come on.
Do you really want to? I mean, I guess you do want to win because you don't even have your picks, I guess. I don't know. I'd be pretty happy if I had the Rams picks.
There's no way you're about to tell me John Wolford's better than Baker Mayfield.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying they're
no, I'm talking to Mitch.
I was just playing devil's advocate. Like, is he? Do we know for sure?
Yeah,
I do know for sure. I mean, I don't know if you tried to see Wolford throw the ball 40 yards down the field on the last play of the game this past weekend, but it's probably the worst throw I've almost ever seen by an NFL quarterback.
How far,
like,
did it go?
Dude, he looked like he winded that shit up and he was trying to hurl the ball downfield and went like 30 yards, like straight into a safety, like probably a good 10 yards away from his target. It was so bad.
But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Well, there's a lot of we'll sees in the sports world, but we just give our takes and our thoughts on them. So NBA is in full force currently. And I have Celtics, quote, best team in the NBA just because of what that announcer said that one day about Jason Tatum and just everything I see online. They think Jason Tatum, I mean, he's amazing. He's playing really, really good. But he thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. What do you think about the Celtics? They scare you?
They're good. But, you know, I don't like the Celtics, so.
You don't pay no mind? You don't pay no mind?
It's so early. It's so early with all these teams that are, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. You know that they're going to be a team to beat. And like, obviously the Celtics made it out the East last year. So it's like, they've got the target on their back.
100%. 100%. I see that. I don't know. I know they're good, but I think that some of these better teams, like the Bucks, and even like, maybe not the 76ers this year, but the Warriors last year, they'd kind of just hang around the top of the standings, and then they'll just kick it into gear like when it gets closer to the playoffs. Like you said, it's too early. So I think the Bucks learned that, especially on the way to their title, because what was that one year? They were the one seed, and we just like were going full force, and we got 2-0 up on the Raptors, and we lost, right? And it's because
that was dumb. That was really dumb.
So, but the Cavs, I mean, they got new players on that team. They seem like the real deal in terms of obviously making the playoffs and possibly making a deep run. What are your thoughts on the Cavs?
I mean, Darius Garland.
I said they've got a top five starting lineup in the NBA before the year started. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree to say that take is correct thus far into the season, which is kind of cool. So
I like that they have two get a bucket late game guys. I feel like that's really nice to have, and just a freak of nature in Mobley.
Yeah, don't sleep on Jared Allen, the fit god.
The fit god?
Fit, yeah, he's got fire fits. Like, he pulls up to the game in some dope ass shit.
Better than Westbrook.
I've never heard of this.
Go look it up. Look it up before we get to the next topic, Zach. You tell me what you think.
Look it up, Zach, and you'll have to show the camera so we can see. But
we're talking Twitter.
Just look up Jared Allen pregame fit. I don't know.
But Chris Middleton's back, Booby. Big for the Bucks.
Yep, gotta love it.
So a surprise team in the NBA thus far. I shouldn't say a surprise. It's really early, and they're only four games above 500. The West is weird. But the Kings, they're currently the four seed.
Light the beam.
Is that their saying?
Dude, have you not seen, like, early in the year, they started off super slow as usual, like the Kings. What they started doing is they started lighting a beam through the roof of their arena. And it's just a purple beam that after they win a game, it just shoots into the sky. It's so sick. And then they went on like a 5-6 game winning streak after that happened.
Booby, I am not seeing anything about Jared Allen, but I am seeing him getting roasted for wearing a casual outfit.
It was a joke. Like, that's what he wears. Bro, hold on. I'll find a picture. It's so good. I would, if anybody listening, since this is bad podcasting, go look up Jared Allen fits.
No, what do you mean bad podcasting? This is just raw.
Well, like, we're trying to explain a visual thing while nobody can
just
see.
Look at this. Why does this picture of Kyle Kuzma come up of him wearing like a pink dress?
Because that was like a once in a lifetime fit from someone, kind of like Russell Westbrook. Didn't he wear like that construction outfit one time?
He dresses weird. I don't have fashion taste like that, where I think a lot of his outfits look good, but apparently everyone else does. But I will say he does have some really cool outfits.
Cool, but I don't know if you'd ever wear them anywhere outside of pulling up to an NBA game.
Well, so, right, we're not professional athletes, Mitch. So.
True. Pelicans, shout out Boobies guy Zion. MVP caliber, 23-7-4.
I didn't say MVP.
I know, I'm just giving you a hard time. But they are the 2 seed in the West, and they look pretty damn good.
Dude, 23-7-4 on that team is really good, considering all the guys they have.
I heard a crazy stat that Zion only takes like 15 shots on average a game. I don't know if it's true.
His EFG is 60%, which is great.
Timeout.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what he's wearing.
Can you explain what he's wearing, everybody?
I mean, he's just wearing a sweatshirt and sweatpants with no logos on them besides his pants say Just Do It. They're just the most, they're like Nike sweatpants any of us would have. And he says dug deep in the closet for this one when he's walking past the camera.
So now it's he's playing it.
Well, he knows. He doesn't, he's like Tim Duncan, except even worse. Like, he just doesn't wear – he just is really plain guy. And sometimes, you know, you need that. You need that guy.
I guess you do need that guy, and especially in that team.
To add on to the Zion stat, he only takes 15 shots a game. Compared to, like, a lot of guys who put up 20, like, his stats could be really scary.
I mean, he shoots it most of the time 5 to 6 feet within the hoop. I mean, you still got to score it. Still got to score it. But, like, yeah, I would hope.
I respect it because you don't want to burn him out. He's a big guy.
Yeah, and he's been injury prone, so they're just being careful with him. I know he's sat out a couple games already this year just for caution. So, you know, I think that they're going to make noise in the playoffs for sure. CJ is known to make big late game shots.
And my boy Jose Alvarado having a coming out party the other day with 38.
Yeah, how does that conflict you? Having to cheer for Jose Alvarado, but not the Pelican success because of your obsessive Zion hate.
No, I don't care if the Pelicans do good or bad. I just could care less what Zion does, if he plays or not, does well or not. I want him to do bad. But
some of the hills you decide to die on, Mitch, is bizarre.
You just, you know, you go up a hill, you might as well just die on it. Otherwise, people will just think you're ludicrous.
I've never heard that before. That was so bad. How have I never heard of that saying before? I've heard dying on a hill, but I've never heard of walking up it. If you walked up the hill, it might as well die on it. That's funny.
Mitch should trademark that.
Put on a t-shirt. That's the new Come On Dude slogan.
Yeah, we got to get some Come On Dude merch going, huh?
Could you imagine? That'd be lit.
It would be actually pretty sick. I'm not going to lie.
Kawhi Leonard, did you see what he said the other day?
Do you mean Kawhi?
Oh, yeah, I spelled it wrong. Sorry. Kawhi.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. He just said that he thinks he loves the game and he doesn't think anybody loves the game more than he does, essentially, after he, like, is injured and sits out a lot, which is just kind of interesting because people yell at LeBron and how Zabo says AD street clothes and these other guys for sitting out and taking low management games, but, like, Kawhi does it, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, all good. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying what the people are saying.
I mean,
I think for the amount of time he sits out, I mean, you got to love it because that's all he does. It's not like he's not playing basketball or practicing or, like, training with coaches. So, I don't know. I think he's just a guy that doesn't care about social media, and it's, like, weird for a lot of people.
I think it's, like, you know, you look around the league and all the guys that have spent – their entire lives, like, countless hours of, like, blood, sweat, and tears to be where they are right now. I think it's hard to say one guy loves it more than the rest. Like, true. All these guys love basketball. And I feel like I love basketball. So it's like, you know, I wouldn't pinpoint him. Like, I think it's good, like, cool that he says that. But, like, you know, Giannis has, like, the same dedication and shit. Like, no doubt.
Do you think that anybody in the league is playing for a check?
Yeah.
Like, just for the check?
Mm-hmm. I think backup veterans do.
Maybe LeBron a little bit these days.
He's probably just sticking around to, one, break the record for points, and then maybe he gets played the stone, and then he's probably out of there, right?
Yeah, he's more legacy at this point than rings. Like, I think we all know that, like, unfortunately.
I saw Richard Jefferson talking about LeBron and how – in the playoff point scoring, he passed Jordan 3 seasons ago, and he's probably still going to add to that at least a little bit in his career. And it's like, what is it going to take for somebody to pass that? Unless they extend the game or something, like go to 13 straight finals? Like, what are you going to do? Because Jordan was ridiculous, right? But he was away from the game for a while and obviously didn't play as long.
Mm-hmm.
Bron makes deep runs and is playing super long. Like, who the hell is going to break that record?
Good question.
So, only this far, probably about a quarter of the way done. Who is your MVP right now?
Luka.
Yeah. I feel like it's got to be Luka.
Even with his team not performing well and not a very good record?
Jokic.
Westbrook won it as a 6 seed.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
What's Luka averaging? 33 a game right now?
Yeah, there's like four guys over 30. It's like Tatum, Luka, Giannis, Curry? No, maybe not Curry. Booker. Booker's up there.
They're a seven seed, and they're pretty close. They're like a game out of not being in the play-in tournament. So I don't know. Things could get weird. They can still go on a run.
Yeah, Luka's basically averaging 33-9-9 on 50% shooting.
He is the Mavericks, man. Like, he's the whole
That's
team.
Ridiculous. He's shooting 50%.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many shot attempts, I'd say?
Oh, look.
Doesn't matter. He has to shoot. Like, when you get a team like that, you would rather have Luka shoot it or someone else.
He's making 11 shots on 22 attempts a game.
So it's really not even that absurd for a superstar in the NBA.
Well, 20 is probably the number where most superstars are at each game, but he's making 50 and he's not shooting close to the rim.
No.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, he's still like he's still at his career average for 3-point shooting. Like he's like a career 34% 3-point shooter. He's
must be getting some stuff at the line. Stuff at the
Oh
line.
God, yeah. Oh God, yeah. He's shooting 10 free throws a game at the moment, but like still 50% on 22 shots is pretty good, especially considering he was at 45% last year. So.
True, true. Speaking of Luka, I texted you about this a while ago or a few days ago. We had this like big thing probably what 4 years ago, maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, about who's better or who's gonna be better, Luka or Devin Booker. And this was in Luka's like second season, I think. And I had pleaded for Booker time in and time out. And you pleaded for Luka time in and time out. And I've told you before I even text you that Luka's better, like he is. But I wanted to ask Zach the same question I asked you. We all know Luka's better. I mean, he's MVP quality. He's going to be one of the best players in the world when it's all said and done. But can we acknowledge that Booker is better than what you thought he would be? Or like Booby said, he kind of is expecting him to be like this.
I don't really understand the question. He's like not good enough to be a 1A, but he's a good 1B. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Dude,
I think
Booker's
he could still be
in
a
such
1A.
A weird spot, dude. Like, he's just so good, but like, I just don't think he'll ever be a top five player. I don't think he's probably around 10 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Off of pure scoring in offense. Like
offense. Are we really talking offense?
I mean, I'm talking overall. Like, is he a top 10 player? Because, like, I don't get, like, what's his defensive metrics look like? Like, I don't watch Suns games.
I don't either. I just watch, like, highlights and things like that and check into the scoring every once in a while because I'm a fan of him. But I'd say it's right on, like, around 10 somewhere, whether you put him higher, whether you put him lower. But, like, there's no way he was supposed to be scoring like at the clip he's at. That's what I was kind of getting at. Like, no one expected Luka to keep doing what he's doing and keep getting better. And like,
yeah,
he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where
no,
I was
I
at
you.
With that.
I would say, I just out of curiosity, like, where do you guys think he is in terms of like how good of an all-star? I would rather have Paul George.
At this point, I don't think I'd have Paul George.
That's really, really close. But, like, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even know the answer to that question.
I would put him in that range of NBA players as the Paul Georges of the world.
Wait, Devin Booker's gotten to the finals. Paul George hasn't.
He can put in the hoop.
And Paul George is also on the back end, not the front end.
That's
Booker
why I said
feels
right,
right
now.
In his prime.
That's why
Paul
I feel
George,
like right now.
Paul George also never had a team like the Suns had a team.
Yeah.
Well,
but
moving
Booker,
on.
I don't know.
We'll come back to it later. But moving on, Coach Pop with the Spurs, he said he's going to continue to coach them if they get the chance to draft Wemby. And I'm thinking that signifies that he could possibly be done if they don't get a chance to draft him. Thoughts on that?
I love how honest he is about like that they're just not going to do anything this year, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're going to be bad. Don't worry about us.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it'd be cool to get like the next unicorn in the draft, but people are even calling him an alien. So, I mean, that'd be a huge reason to stay. if you could get a guy like that, just generational, pending injury, like, dude's going to be gnarly.
That's really what I'm saying.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, of course, he's getting to the end of his career, and he's probably going to be out here soon. But, like, if they get Wemby, like, how long would he stay around to develop him and get him right in terms of NBA readiness?
Damn, he's 73.
Oh, yeah, he's old, man.
Bro, he went to college when my dad was born. That's nuts.
Well, we're going to move on here, though. So I've got a little start bench cut segment here from the NBA to gauge your interest in certain players that have been performing well this year in the NBA and in previous years. The first one, we probably are going to be biased, but I also think it's true. You got Giannis, AD, and Embiid. Start, bench, cut.
Start Giannis, bench Embiid, cut AD.
I couldn't agree more.
Is it because AD gets hurt a lot, or you think he's just better?
Embiid. It's because AD is a beta. He's not a leader. He's never been a leader. He got bounced in the first round every single year at the Pelicans. Outside of that, he's just a really good player. He's great too.
Movie?
I mean, I think he's a very good basketball player, but he's just not better than Embiid, and he's definitely not better than Giannis.
Okay, fair. Next one. Tatum, Ja, and Luka.
Start Luka, bench Ja, cut Tatum.
It sucks because I also agree, because I feel like you're just putting certain players that I feel like should be different players. Like, instead of AD, I would have totally put Jokic there. But yeah, I agree with start Luka, bench Ja, because Ja is generational and Tatum disappears. So I definitely cut Tatum.
You think Tatum disappears?
Yeah.
Tatum's inconsistent.
Really?
He's very good. And, like, his best nights are anybody's best nights in the league. But, like, there you'll see games he goes, like, 3 of 24 shooting. Like, I shit you not.
I don't think there's a debate that Luka, you're starting him out of those three, but...
John Luka like... give you more than Tatum gives you.
Really?
I think so.
I just think it would be closer between John and Tatum. I think it's a toss-up there.
I think Tatum's personally. Got the better team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's definitely a hot take, and I'm definitely the minority, but I'd rather have Jaylen Brown than Jason Tatum.
That's a little hot. It's a little spicy.
I mean that's a million Scoville units right there. You might be walking up that hill and dying on it on that one.
I used to say that, dead ass.
I'm okay with that.
And then last year kind of changed my mind.
Mitch, I'd rather die on that hill than say Zion is bad and die on that hill. I can't imagine being on that hill. I think you're the only one on it.
No, there's a few people. You don't want to know who they are, but they're there. SGA, Booker, and Spadon Mitchell.
Start Booker, bench SGA, cut Donovan Mitchell.
So this one I would definitely start SGA, bench Booker, and cut Spida as well. I just, what I've seen from SGA this year is really scary. Totally unexpected, really scary.
SGA is really good. And Booby's been calling it for a while. But I think I got to agree with Booby. I think I'd still start Booker over him right now.
Just right now.
I'm just thrown off by this Tatum one. Like, I don't think, Ja's really freaking good, man. Like, I love him. But I think I'd rather have Tatum.
Than Ja Morant?
Yeah.
No.
Why? What aspect?
I know Ja can get downhill, but his just scoring ability, Tatum's, I mean, he doesn't need any space. It's going up. I know Ja can get by people and create plays, but when it gets down to it, he puts the ball in the hoop, and I like the way he does it. So,
I guess that's the name of the game, but I don't know. I'd rather have Ja.
I feel like Ja has more mismatches depending on who's guarding him than Tatum.
Agreed. I think you're right on that take there. Like, there's definitely no one can really stay in front of Ja, but I think there's more help that can come from that. Like, it goes with the team. Like, they have a better team. The Celtics do, right? Way better.
Yeah, who's the Grizzlies? I mean, dude, Desmond Bane's having a year, man.
I love him. He's awesome. He's a 2K player that minimized his wingspan so he could shoot.
Dude, isn't he averaging like 25 a game?
Oh, yeah. On like almost 40% from three.
25 a game. 25 yeah. a game.
Bane's That's good, man. Shout out TCU. But, all right, yeah, we can move on.
Is that
on.
Where he went to school?
I'm pretty sure I went to TCU.
I think he went to Kansas State.
He might have went to
Kansas. This is where me being...
Hold on.
This is where me being me comes in. Nope, you're right. TCU.
Yeah. Horned Frogs,
I knew it
baby.
Was purple. I knew it was purple.
We're close. You were close. All right, let's
TCU?
Test.
TCU? He's got to be the only basketball player out of there. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you. Move on.
No, you're fine. I just want to test your knowledge right now and ask you where... Anthony Simons went to school.
He didn't. He went to IMG.
There you go. Good job. Did you know that, Zach?
No. I like Anthony Simons.
He came straight out of prep school.
Yeah, he's really good. But let's go. Let's get into week 13 here. Fantasy football, boom goes Dynamite League. A lot happening. This week, not a whole lot of movement. Kind of just went and reverted back to where week 12 was. However, this next week sets up week 14 in a tremendous way, and I can't wait to explain it and get going here. So it was a highly anticipated game in terms of matchup, not necessarily point production from either team, was me versus Reed. Now, Zach took Reed because he said Mike Williams is going to be back. However, he wasn't playing, so not sure if that changed his outlook. I'm not sure it did. You went with me, Booby, right, and Liam went with Reed.
I don't remember. They got
I think
bad
that's
memory.
How that. I think that's how that shook out. But whatever. Zach is right again as Reed beats me 108-89. Not necessarily a thrilling game. The only takeaways from that are Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are my whole team, and Reed just had a balanced attack. No one really went off, but low points. You just had to beat 89. Not too difficult, and he ends up getting the win. Almost securing his spot in the playoffs, but we'll get into playoff scenarios later on in the episode.
Well, hold up. I mean, we can ask you again later, but how does it feel that, like, you need so much to happen for your season not to be over and to come on this pod next week, like, to talk about everybody else except yourself?
Jeez, man. Like, wow. More or less, I was expecting this after about 5 weeks into the season. I mean,
nice winning streak. Nice little winning streak you had there.
The 2 weeks I won before this, I did not put up a lot of points. And I just got a lucky break and didn't really say a whole lot. I was just jacked to be in the playoffs, and I thought it was awesome. But then we get into one of these games where it's really like, if I win this game, I'm sitting not pretty, but in a better spot, right? Obviously. So,
yeah.
Playing Reed, I thought I had a good shot. Thought I had a real good shot, and my matchups just didn't perform. And even though Diggs had 22, Josh Allen only had like 19, which you want more from him being him, but he might have a turnover. Not a turnover issue. Like, they score enough points and they're pretty explosive, but fantasy value, right? You don't want him to throw picks every week and stuff like that. I don't regret taking him when I did. I really don't, because he's been really, really good all year. It's just other parts around me. And we'll get into that in like later episodes. We've talked about like what teams have done really good or what is one mistake they made that they wish they could take back. We'll get into that later, but I don't regret taking Josh Allen when I did.
Yeah, I mean, talking this week, though, I mean, Jeff Wilson had one touch and Cortland Sutton had zero.
Cortland Sutton got hurt for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got hurt. So he's out next week. You don't want to look at the lineup I'm throwing out there next week. I got lots of buys.
I think after this year, a lot of people are going to start to pay attention to Bymageddon. Not saying it's everything, but if you have a week where you just don't have a chance, like this is a great example of you don't have a chance. Like, your team is done.
Well, I have a chance.
Mitch, bro.
Nick's team might be cursed.
This is disgusting.
Oh, yeah, it's not good. Part of it was I have buys and things like that. And guys that I drafted, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just did not work out for me at all. And I bet on the wrong side of the coin on that one. So,
Zach, let's play a name game. Would would these players start on your team? Ready? Would these players start on your team, Zach?
I'm listening.
Jeff Wilson Jr.
No.
Cam Akers.
No.
Marvin Jones Jr.
You wouldn't be on my team at all.
Tyler Conklin.
Also wouldn't be on my team at all.
Trent Sherfield.
Who is that? Oh, the Dolphin slot? No.
Yeah. Those guys are all in Mitch's lineup this week. In a must-win game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have buys. I have buys. Yeah. And people hurt.
Oh, you know, dude, you don't even have the worst lineup in the league this week. That's the craziest part. Let's just wait till we get to him.
All right. Let's move on to the next game, though. Reed wins. He's 7-6. I lose. I'm 6-7. Burtz ends up beating Liam because Liam's team is overhyped because Zach likes to put his cock down his throat. But Burtz goes to 7-6.
Why?
Liam is 8-5, 128 to 114. Pollard at 24. Pacheco for Liam. Back-to-back good weeks. He's the back there. He had 16. And then St. Brown at 34 for Liam. But Liam was missing a lot of dudes this game, so makes sense why he took an L this week. But, yeah, he's missing some guys.
I mean, like, what we're seeing here is, like, some of Vert's top players. He has Tony Pollard, who had two touchdowns, had a really good week. Michael Gallup having two touchdowns has got to be the ugliest thing I've seen all year out of Vert's team.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just great. Duvernay finally got 10 for him. Just a flex guy. That's pretty much it. Yeah, Vert got the touchdowns this week. That's no doubt. Stevenson is a bell cow. Got it done in the receiving, it looks like. And Mahomes had that rushing touchdown. That was crazy. Otherwise, he would have had a bad week.
Yeah.
I mean, that win. I mean, and by him again, Liam was missing some guys, and other guys just didn't perform. I mean, he needed that. He's sitting in a good spot right now. I think all he's got to do is win. But like I said, we'll get to playoff scenarios as we go down the line. Anything else regarding these two teams?
I can't believe Lane traded Liam Amonra.
I mean, yeah, Jamar Chase. Right?
But I think it's cool that Liam starts two tight ends. So who's the real tight end university this year?
I mean, it's not good. It got him 14 points.
No, right? I understand that, but it's Freiermuth and Kittle, I feel like, every week for him. And it's done well for him this year. He's a 3 seed. I'd be pretty happy with the results.
Yeah.
Sure.
Berg ends up beating you, Zabo, this week. Berg goes to 5-8. Zabo, you fall to 8-5, 151 to 121.
Browns defense.
Yeah, with 31 points. That's literally the difference in the game. Literally the difference in the game.
I had to make myself busy when I saw the Browns had two touchdowns. Three. Two interceptions, two fumble recoveries, and only allowed 12 points. I couldn't watch Sunday football. Adam ruined it for me. But hey, hats off to him. He had the game of the week when he needed it, trying to avoid the garbage bowl. It's probably one of the first times he had some of his running backs perform like they should. Kamara didn't show up. But either way, I mean, Geno outscored Herbert. He pretty much did it all. I don't think I had a running back over 10 points. No, I didn't.
No, yeah, your running back struggled this week.
Yeah. But
that hurt. I mean,
if there's ever a time for it to happen, I'd prefer it to be during the regular season.
Yeah, might as well get out of the way. You're a lock for the playoffs now, and we'll see where you end up playoff-wise. But that is a huge win for Berg, considering garbage bowl implications, just because there could be lots of options here now down the road for him. So
Swift seems to be back.
Yeah, he does. But, like, Jamal Adams – oh, my God, I said Jamal Adams almost. Jamal Williams. His touchdowns this year, did you see what I sent in the chat before?
Yeah, they're all, 14. Like, 1 yard.
1 yard touchdown runs. I think he's got 9 of them. Like, it's ridiculous. And, like, a few 2 yard rushes and then a 15 and a 52. Like, talk about a guy that's so touchdown dependent, and yet he gets to start every week from Joel, and he gets him close to 10 points, if not more.
Before we move off of me and Berg's game, I just want to point out Tyreek Hill. I feel like he has a very good, like, resume in terms of his skill level to be considered the best receiver in the league. I understand he's no longer receiver number one, but you can't guard the guy. If he has the ball in the open field, you're it's going to be probably the hardest person to tackle. Just because he's so quick.
Disagreeing with you.
Okay, not the hardest person to tackle, the hardest person to get your hands on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree with you there, but there's probably two or three guys I'd take over him legitimately without bias.
Yeah, I mean, one's JJ, right, Mitch?
Yeah.
We had a very long, drunk debate over the Thanksgiving.
We did?
Festivities. No, me and Zach did. Me and Zach were sitting down at Kelly's playing some darts, and we went at it for like 10 minutes.
I'm curious to know if some of the things you brought up, Zach, why you think Tyreek could be better than JJ.
You have to line up 15 yards off the ball from him.
Yeah, we're gonna not open that can of worms. I was just curious what you thought.
Can we not? Like, we already did this.
Yeah,
sadly, the podcast and our listeners aren't gonna hear it, but we're not gonna do this right now.
That's fine. But Nick, winning streak. He's on a win streak. He beats Joel. He's now 3-10. That is Nick, and Joel's 8-5, 129-88. Metcalf at 26, and I don't know what is going on with Watson, but he's elite. He had 24. P. Ryan for Joel, 21 was his highest score. And just Joel's QBs this year, man, are just laughable. I mean, he was talking to me. He goes, people talk about how, like, other people got, like, trade murdered, we'll say. And he's like, Dylan murdered me on that trade, especially if Lamar gets hurt. And then Lamar gets hurt, and he's like, well, I don't know what to do anymore, because that's the worst trade in fantasy football this year was that trade.
I said that. Dylan took the heart of Joel's team, the House of the Lamb. He had to change his team name. Dylan took the heart.
Yeah.
He took my team name too. I was the Lamar team name.
Yeah, but your team actually scores points. Joel is the lowest points for in the league.
Dude, he's pretty. I might have to send you the text I sent. I wanted peep this team for the week. He's projected 102 points. It's got to be the ugliest line I've ever seen. I can't believe it. And like, he doesn't have to worry about anything. He's 8-5. Like, he's fine. Like, he's in the playoffs.
Like, can we play the name game and see if they'll start on my team even?
Yeah. I will. I can't wait to do this. All right. Daniel Jones.
No.
Devin Singletary. Jamal Williams.
He might.
Joshua Palmer. All right. Amari Cooper.
Yeah. He'd start right now this week.
Tyler Higbee.
It's a toss-up.
Zach, this is a talking podcast. Nobody sees you shaking your head at every player, bro.
You asked Mitchell.
No, I'm asking you as well. Even you. Okay. I mean,
those players on this
you've
team
only nodded. Cooper. Yep. Mm-hmm. Juju?
No.
Corey Davis?
No, but I like that play.
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe he might start for Marvin Jones. I don't know.
Sorry, Joel. I mean, dude, you know what? You don't even care anyways. You said
he doesn't.
You're not. And that's cool. Doesn't. Like, that's cool. I wouldn't either.
He's not the garbage bowl. Things get weird in the playoffs for him. He could fucking win the league. Who knows?
Yeah, he literally could. He literally could. If teams continue to put up the points they do against him, legitimately, yes.
Like, he had, what, 4 wins this year within 4 points?
Here, this is something I want to comment on. You know the trade was bad. I just looked when Joel hasn't started both Lamar and Brandon Cooks in the same week. Hasn't happened one time.
Well, Brandon Cooks is just weird. But I mean, Lamar, you're expecting him to put up what he did in the beginning of the year.
I don't know how Dylan traded Brandon Cooks when he literally said, "I don't want to be here," and they kept him.
He's not Hemi Neutron.
He stopped playing. He's like, I don't want to be here. Trade me. And they didn't. And then Joel's like, sure. Michael Pittman, there you go.
Michael Pittman hasn't been good. He had one game.
Not my point.
Has he had one game all year?
No, he had one game while he's been on my roster. Otherwise, him and Brandon Cooks are honestly very comparable, except I'd rather have Pittman. Simply.
And, like, CD's just been nuts.
The point was CD. That's why I made the trade. I needed a receiver. And now Keenan Allen's back, and life's cool.
Yeah, life must be cool because you just beat Lang this week. You're 10-3. Lang, is that 6 in a row? 5 in a row? He falls to 6-7. 168
5 losses in a row. 5 losses in a row for Lang.
So this man was 6-2. Now he's 6-7. He's the same record as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And all the shit you guys talk about my team, Lang's 6-7. Now he's had injuries and things like that. He got Ja'Marr Chase back. He had a decent game, but Burrow had 30. CMC had 28 for you. Lockett had 27. Wilson had 24 for you. You had 6 guys. I counted your quarterback who had 19, but 6 guys over 20 points.
And Travis Kelce was ass.
Like, that's absurd.
I feel awful for Lang, because if you look at the teams that are on the border, like points for Reed's in the 1400s. Joel's in, but he's also in the 1400s. Vert's 1500, and then Mitch is 1600. Lang's the only one at 1700 besides Krieger. So, like, if you think about it, it should be Lang and Krieger that get in.
I don't think that 1600 is that bad, man.
It's just a 100-point swing is what I'm getting at. Like, they score, like, his team scores. He's just the worst luck you could ever think of.
Yeah. He's probably had the opposite of Joel's luck this year. That when Ja'Marr Chase went down, that's when things got bad for him, because he was looking really, really good, right? And I just want to point out that as much crap as I got at the time for Eckler and Stephon Diggs trade, like, I'd almost say it's a wash at this point. If not, I got the better half of it even a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, at time being, this is why you got to look – and wait to see what happens with trades, and we all freak out about it, myself included. But you got to wait and see, because you never know. CD goes crazy after Joel had him. He was good with Joel, but not nowhere near what you did.
We haven't touched on this, but Zach, I know you're probably aware, but you are second in points for. You're 64 points behind me, which in that case means this week you will have to outscore me by 64 points, or Jordan will have to outscore me by 66 points. For me to not win the points for a crown and the $125 that you get for that.
You would have to not participate for that to happen. So I think you're good.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it, because you led it all year and I kind of made a push towards the end of the year for it.
Yeah.
The thing is, my team this year, I know we want to move on from my game, but my team this year has been so interesting, because it's not that I'm exploding, but I've only had 2 weeks the whole year under 133 points. And I've only had one game under 115 points. So, like, I'm also not, like, having these 170, 180-point games. Mm-hmm. I've had, like, 2 games above 160. It's just consistent. It's literally just hitting consistency.
Yeah, and it's usually someone different every time, which is what you look for in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're sitting in a good spot. We'll talk about where you are at in terms of playoffs in a little bit. But Jordan beats Levi 182 to 115. Jordan is now 6-7. Levi 4-9. Hurts had 34. AJ Brown had 31. Devontae Adams had 37. All for Jordan. I mean, that's insane. 3 guys over 30. And then Justin Jefferson had an okay game. He had 18. That was really the only highlight for Levi. But Jordan set himself up really, really nice here. He was 2-7. Now he's 6-7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to run the table.
He must be an avid listener of the podcast, because he did make some moves with his big name guys that weren't producing, even though they should have been. I mean, trading to get Devontae and AJ Brown, and then just for shits and giggles, getting Miles Sanders. Like, he really shaped up his team. He's definitely a threat. Scores a lot, like we talked about earlier. I think Krieger did a really good job of managing his team. That's why a lot of people threw his name in.
What was the Devontae Adams trade? Who was it for again?
It was Vert's. I think
Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Nick Chubb got fucking passed around this year. God damn.
I mean, what a fucking trade, though. I mean.
Yeah, you guys all touched his Chubb. at some point during his career.
His career. Yeah, I didn't touch on this year. I wanted to. I'm not glad I didn't, but
I never have.
You're probably going to want to touch that Chubb sooner rather than later before he gets burnt.
I'm good.
But what this essentially all means from this week and setting it up is we only have one note under league beef. And that is in week 14, the final week of the season, you have a 6-7 Jordan trying to run the table with 4 wins in a row. And then a 6-7 Lang who's lost 5 straight. And Jordan, according to sources, has been talking shit to Lang for weeks. And this is a win or go home game because they play each other. And I have all the scenarios listed out in the playoffs below this, but let's touch on this rivalry slash almost game of the year, essentially, for these two guys after Jordan has been on his ass since what, week 5?
Dude, I'm just looking at the playoff picture right now. So much is going to happen. I just know.
Yeah, let's get into it, Mitch. Let's get into it.
All right, so playoffs.
Oh, my God.
We'll touch on their league beef as we go down, but Booby is officially locked at the one seed. He's got 2 wins over everybody, especially in his division. He's going to have the one seed and a bye. The battle for the 2 seed. Well, let me back up. So Liam, Joel, and Zach are all 100% in the playoffs. They don't have to worry about this week. But there is that matchup to get the 2 seed. Now, Joel, I don't think he can get it because his point's 4.
Unless they both lost.
Or no, unless they both lose, division. Right? It's the winner of each division, so it's me and Liam fighting for the
battle. That's why I put that, yep. So for the 2 seed, you have an 8-5 Zabo for an 8-5 Liam. Essentially, whichever one wins will get that 2 seed.
True. Wait, essentially, if they both win, Zach gets it, though.
For points 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Otherwise, Liam explodes this week, and Zach barely scrapes out a win or some shit. I don't know. So, it's probably Zach. Zach needs to win for the 2 seed.
That's stuff that, you know, you just look forward, and that's why, like, even upper echelon guys that are 100% locked into the playoffs, you want that first round bye more than anything because you just don't have to play a week, right? And that's essentially what you guys are doing this week. So to not play 2 weeks in a row, that's going to be huge. Booby's on cruise control until, what, week 16, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you're sitting pretty now for essentially, or you have been for a while. Here's where things get hairy. We've essentially have 5 people that are mathematically alive for 2 playoff spots. That is Reed, Verts, Jordan, Lang, and Mitch all have a chance. Here's the scenarios where they get in, okay? With the highest or second highest ability percentage wise, whatever you want to call it, to get in is Reed. So Reed has got to win. Or if he loses, I need to lose. And then he needs to outscore Verts by 250 points.
Why'd you even put that on there?
Because I thought it was funny. I was looking at it and I was like, well, that's a scenario that could happen. He needs to win, right?
And he has to beat me.
Yes. And that's you. Verts has to essentially win himself. I think there's a scenario where if he loses and Reed loses and I lose, he gets in. So he needs 3 losses if he loses. Otherwise, if he just goes and wins, he'll be all right. Jordan gets in with a win, but he also has to have a Reed or a Verts loss. Now, his points 4, he's going to be in regardless. So he's got to have one thing happen and then another, which you two are 2 of the top scorers in the league playing Reed and Verts. I would say it's a pretty fair chance that one of you is going to win, right? So Jordan wins. He's looking really, really good.
It's going to get interesting, brother. It's going to get interesting.
Mm-hmm. Lang, on the other hand, he's also 6-7. So me, Jordan, and Lang are all 6-7. Lang has got a win, and Jordan and Lang play each other. And then also needs a Reed or a Verts loss. So, like, same game. They're in the same game. Whichever one wins, they need one of those other 2 guys that are in right now to lose. Now, I'm mathematically alive still. And I think I have a better of a chance than the percentage has given me just because Zach and Booby both play teams that I need to lose. Now, how I get in is I have to first beat Nick, which isn't a walk in the park. You got to win. And my team that I'm putting out this week is not something that you want to put out in a win or go home situation. But I need a win. Then I need Reed and Verts to both lose. And then even if Verts loses, I have to outscore, or Verts can't outscore me by 30. So there's a lot of moving parts there. But I don't think that's too far out of reach considering who they're playing, right? Thoughts on the five people left and just how this all shook out. I mean, there's so much to think about. So much is going to happen. It's going to be a wild week regardless.
Just Jordan and the run he's been on is pretty inspiring, given that he was 2-7. And look at him now.
I just want to touch base on your last point of not letting Vert outscore you by 30. I don't think you're coming close to a lot of teams this week.
I know. That's why even if I win, it's really important that if Verts and Reed lose, that they don't even miss by 30. Because if I lose and Verts loses.
I think it would be incredible if Jordan didn't make it because of how hot he is. But
he is hot. Football.
All it takes is 1 week, man. And Ja'Marr Chase is back.
Pause.
Ja'Marr Chase is back for Lang. And so you've literally got two teams. Huh?
Chase is talking.
Oh, yeah. That little money celebration was awesome. But, like, this situation, like, Jordan is one of the hottest teams in the league history ever, while Lang is on the complete opposite side of that. So, like, this could be also the fantasy football, just how it is. Like, they could switch this week. For some reason, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Jordan could put up 105 and Lang could put up 140. You just never know, right? So that'll be – that's a huge moving part in the playoff scenarios. So the other guys in the league then are garbage bowl watch. Nick is a lock. There's nothing that Nick can do to get out of it. He's dug too deep of a hole from injuries and the Kyle Pitts saga that he's going to be in the garbage bowl regardless. Now his opponent is still up in the air. Adam is in the garbage bowl if he loses and Levi wins, and he doesn't outscore Levi by 38. Now, if they both lose, or if he loses and Levi wins, but he outscored Levi by 38, he's out. Levi is in the garbage bowl if he loses, or if he wins, but Berg outscores him by 38. So essentially, Levi has to win, and paying attention to Adam's score, he's got to outscore him by a decent margin to be out of the garbage bowl. So right now, it looks like Levi, essentially, but things get weird. You never know who that opponent's going to be in the garbage bowl. So me, Lang, and Jordan all have two wins above the second place garbage bowl spot, which is Levi right now. I know we're only one behind Nick, but with 1 week left in the season, we are mathematically eliminated from the garbage bowl as well. So we are sitting fine. And here's your matchups for week 14 then. I play Nick. Zaba plays Verts. Joel plays Adam. Booby plays Reed. And Levi plays Liam. And then the game of the week, game of the year, game of all time, because of the trash talk that's going on between them two, Jordan plays Lang. Right now, Jordan is projected 123. Lang is projected 127. They both are at full strength. So no one's missing players. Ja'Marr Chase is back. Everybody is playing. Deciding on the game of the week, I'm not participating. I said I was out. I'm just going to sit back and watch. Zabo, Booby, who you got?
Give me Jordan.
I got to go Lang. Burrow's been so good. Burrow's been so good. So is Jalen Hurts. But I don't know. I just think Chase coming back. I really like Lang's matchups. I'm looking at some of Jordan's matchups, like Jalen Ramsey on Devontae Adams hurts. Giants defense against the Eagles hurts. Najee Harris against Baltimore's run defense hurts. I don't know. I think Jordan's got a lot of tough matchups here. Christian Kirk against Tennessee, who's got a really good defense. And then you got Lang with Burrow and Chase finally reconnecting. Dalton Schultz against Houston. I don't know. It's very interesting.
It's going to be a good matchup regardless.
Also, defenses have been scoring, so something to keep an eye on is San Fran versus Tom Brady and Dallas versus Houston.
Who's got Dallas?
Lang.
You never know, man.
No, I know. It's just ridiculous because it's crazy how bad Houston is. It's really scary. Just,
the Dallas has a good defense. I mean, did you see what they did to Indianapolis in that the game on Monday night?
Yeah.
I mean,
they look scary.
So, all right. I also want to get your two's opinions just because for shits and gigs. Which two teams do you think eventually make it into the playoffs? And which two teams do you think are in the garbage bowl based on matchups and stuff this week?
I would say Wirtz went wrong, maybe blowing it up, even though he felt like he needed to change when he was hot. And now he's lost quite a bit. But, I mean, he's still got a pretty solid, well-rounded team. I just probably would have kept Devontae instead of trading him for Nick Chubb.
I'm going to ask you who you think is going to be in.
I think it's going to be Lang. And I don't know who the other person is going to be, but I think Lang beats Jordan, so it'd be Jordan's out.
See, I got Jordan, and then I'm struggling because I simply don't think Reed's beating me, though. I'll be honest. Reed doesn't have Aaron Jones.
Playing?
Aaron Jones is out.
Oh, is Mike Williams back, though?
I don't know.
Well, either way, if I think Lang is
going to beat Allen.
Jordan, Reed has 7 wins.
I think it's gonna be Wirtz and Jordan.
So you think Wirtz beats me?
He doesn't have to.
I think Wirtz has a better.
He doesn't have to. I have to win in order for that to happen. So I think Booby's saying he's not projecting me to win.
I think Wirtz has the best odds of making it in. So I'm gonna take him.
I think he has a great 1-2-3 punch with Mahomes, Stevenson, and Pollard, but he's got Brock Purdy thrown to Debo. I think that's going to be a huge issue.
Yeah, I think Brock Purdy being in there only helps me. And that's
The whole situation, Zach, is that it doesn't matter if Wirtz loses. I mean, if you think you're going to win, I don't think Booby thinks Wirtz is going to beat you, but then I have to win.
That would be the only way Wirtz makes it, if he beats me.
No, because no. Wirtz is 7-6.
Because if I lose, even if I win, if Wirtz outscores me by 30, which is very possible, he still gets in.
Because if I beat Reed and Wirtz loses as well, and they both lose, they're 7-7. Okay, and Jordan and Lang play each other. So
I go Lang Reed.
Okay.
Lang Reed.
Yeah. And I got Jordan
Lang
Wirtz.
Reed. Jordan Wirtz. No one wants to take the little guy.
No, you're fucked. Your season's over.
You're not winning this week.
What if I do, though? What if I do? It's literally happened in other weeks.
You're right. I will eat my words.
Garbage bowl, I've got.
Nick, I want you to type something up, or I'm going to type something up you have to say to me if I win, and you have to say it on the podcast. Okay?
All right. Okay.
So that is our week 13 recap for this season, and then week 14, final week of the regular season. It's going to be electric. It's going to be fun. We've had fun doing this. We're going to try to get on a more consistent schedule, like we said, but with my basketball and stuff starting up, other people's jobs, we had to find a new time to do this. So next episode, you're going to hear from all of the managers of one thing that they thought they did well and one mistake that they made throughout the season. Before we hit the playoffs, we will evaluate the playoffs and give our predictions and stuff like that once they come out. And then reactions to, obviously, all of the games at hand. So, Booby, Zach, you got anything for the people that decided to listen this far in?
Shout out to the Finches. Big game this weekend.
Best of luck, gentlemen. May the odds be ever in your favor.
Wish you the best of luck. We'll catch you on the other side.
Peace.
We get it almost every night, and when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural. out of sight. But they don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Everybody was dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody dancing in the moonlight.
We like our fun and we never fight. You can't dance and stay uptight. It's supernatural delight. Everybody was dancing. Everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep